station. It's our station. And we could finish up the show with the most important thing. And Michelle and Teresa played this a week or so ago. It's about covering your mouth. John and Melody finishing up the Juneteenth, first show of the year. Thank you, Ty, for all you do. Yes, indeed he did.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM. And K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. The time is 8:59 a.m. Next up is Fight the Empire.
Well, this is Fight the Empire. My name is Pierre Fagre, and let's talk some more about the craziness in Washington, D.C. This is your chance to weigh in on this spectacle. Number to call is 503-231-8187. There are a lot of questions about the Trump followers invading the Capitol. They really went on a rampage. They went into offices and they destroyed stuff and kind of terrorized a few people inside the building. And one might ask, was this a kind of a real attempted putsch that failed? Or was it some kind of a stage spectacle that kind of went astray? Some say that they intended to take hostages. I read one account that the people who invaded the Capitol were planning to take hostages and conduct trials outside on the mall. And I saw a picture. I think that was a real, you know, not some kind of fake shot of they built a gallows outside the Capitol on the mall. And so we might ask, did these people really hope to succeed? That somehow that they would keep Donald Trump in office? So what do you think their plans were? The number to call is 503-231-8187. I would think that their support, whether they hope to succeed or not would depend on how much powerful support that they had. They might have thought they had a lot of backing from people higher up in government. It looked like the Capitol Police opened the gates to let the mob come in. Apparently Donald Trump said that he would lead a march on the Capitol, but when it came right down to it, Donald Trump stayed in his office in the White House and kind of watched the whole thing on video or something. So one really wonders what the people who stormed the Capitol were expecting to happen next. In some ways, it makes me think of Adolf Hitler's Munich beer hall putsch back around 1923, and he where the couple thousand Nazis went down to storm a city hall in Munich, and they were arrested. The police were there waiting for them. They were arrested, and there were several trials, and Hitler was sentenced to, I think, 4 years in prison. And while he was in prison, he wrote his book Mein Kampf, and he was apparently released after just 9 months. And people thought, well, that was a beer hall putsch that was over and done with, and the Nazi Party was kind of moribund for 10 years. But then along came the Great Depression, which really upended everything, and that helped put Hitler in power. Until then, he'd been thought of as a kind of a fringe person, kind of really a crazy guy. But when it came right down to it, he was the one that was helped into power, probably because for the first time he was getting some a lot of support from the millionaires, the arms makers, and the industrialists. They realized that he had that they could use him. They hoped to use him because they were more afraid of the communists than they were of Hitler, and they thought that Hitler could defeat the communists, and then that they would kind of control him. Well, that didn't turn out very well for their plans. We see what actually did happen. So we can look at what happened in Washington, and in some ways it's kind of a farce, but who knows what repercussions it might have. So I don't know. I'd like to get our listeners' opinions about this. What do you think that the Trump people really hope to succeed in some kind of an overthrow of the government, or is it all kind of a weird spectacle? Number to call is 503-231-8187. One thing that Trump did, he was able to exploit. People have fears of voting machines that they could be kind of programmed, or they could be manipulated, and people had these legitimate fears of voting machines, and Trump is was exploiting them. Computer experts, there's an article in USA Today that goes into this in some detail, that these voting machines are not they're not that reliable. They can be hacked. I'll read you a little bit from the USA Today article. Millions of voters going to the polls Tuesday will cast their ballots on machines blasted as unreliable and inaccurate for two decades by computer scientists from Princeton University and Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. Toyed with by white hat hackers and targeted for scathing reviews from secretaries of state in California and Ohio, direct recording electronic voting machine systems, or DREs, have startled Illinois voters by flashing the word Republican at the top of a ballot and forgotten what day it was in South Carolina. They were questioned in the disappearance of 12,000 votes in Bernalillo County, New Mexico in 2002, and 18,000 votes in Sarasota County, Florida in 2006. So we see that these kind of electronic voting machines are not reliable, and they can be hacked. So Trump was able to exploit this fear. It's a legitimate fear, and Trump was able to use it for his own ends. And one thing that maybe the best solution to this is to get away from these kind of hackable electronic voting machines and have real honest vote counting. You know, we might ask, why do we use these machines at all? Well, supposedly they are cheaper. They make it cheaper to run an election, and in some ways they make it easier for disabled people to cast their ballots. But it would seem to me that it's possible to make voting machines that disabled people can use, and just sort of have ordinary, the old, maybe we should go back to using paper ballots, where you go into a little booth and you check off, you fill out your ballot, and you drop it in a box. It's worked for many years. Many countries still use it, and apparently I heard, someone wanted to dispute me, be welcome, but apparently in Canada they still use paper ballots, and the ballots are counted practically overnight in national elections. That you just get a lot of people, put a lot of people to work counting ballots, and they get an honest result. And so it may cost a little bit more to run an election, but maybe in the long run it's a better way to run an election. And I think the bottom line that a lot of people don't want to believe is that our high tech, which we are very proud of, is really not that secure. I think anything that's connected to the internet can be hacked, and if something can be hacked, you can be sure that some people will try and do that. And so people have these legitimate fears that can be exploited by con men, by like Donald Trump. The other day, President-elect has picked his national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, and he gave a foreign policy preview. And he talked about, he started talking about Russia. Now, it's very interesting that according to Jake Sullivan, he felt that it's, quote, most likely that they hacked into our system. And it's very interesting that he said most likely falls short of a certainty. It's an opinion. It's a very strongly held opinion with backed up with a certain amount of evidence, but it's not an absolute certainty. So, but anyway, Jake Sullivan thinks it most likely that the Russians hacked into our system. And he also says that Joe Biden, when he is actually installed as president, he will impose substantial costs. He doesn't say what those costs will be. And at the same time, President Biden will begin to renew the START agreement on nuclear weapons. You remember, this is the agreement that we had with Russia. I believe it came into being under President Obama. But then Donald Trump, when he became president, he he dumped the whole thing. And so President-elect Biden can be expected to return to the START agreement. When Jake Sullivan talked about China, he said there was very little harsh language, the kind we've gotten used to under Donald Trump, and that Biden will engage with China. And he criticized President Trump for picking fights with China, kind of unilaterally picking fights with China. Instead, when Biden becomes president, that he will consult their allies on how to deal with China. Also, another thing Jake Sullivan talked about was Iran. And he said that Donald Trump's maximum pressure campaign was a total failure. You recall that Trump backed out of the nuclear deal with Iran and talked about putting all sorts of sanctions and pressure on Iran to do a new agreement that would be even more one-sided. And this is what President-elect Biden sees as a failure. And so, according to Jake Sullivan, Biden will renew the nuclear deal. If anybody wants to call in, what do you think will happen when Joe Biden becomes president? What are you hoping for? Certainly can't be more crazy than what we've had for the last 4 years. The number to call is 503-231-8187. Apparently, according to one account, the Russians are a little bit leery about Joe Biden. They remember that back in 2011, just 10 years ago, at some kind of a trade fair in Moscow, Biden, who was vice president then, he talked with the Russian opposition leaders and told them kind of publicly that that Vladimir Putin should not run again for president of Russia. Well, this is an opinion that anybody is okay to have, but it's one thing to the way it was enunciated in Moscow. We complain about Russian interference with our voting elections. This sort of is pretty similar. This is what the U.S. has been doing, a great example of interference where a foreign leader comes to your capital to a trade fair and gives unsolicited advice to the president of your country. So, the Russians, I suppose maybe they, from what I can tell, is that if they had any hopes for Trump as president for easing tensions, they evaporated pretty fast when they realized that Trump was a pretty unstable person, that he really couldn't get anything done that they would approve of. And so now they are ready to deal with President-elect Biden.
Bruce is on the line.
We have somebody online. Who's on the line?
Bruce.
Bruce. Okay. Welcome, Bruce. Good morning. Good morning. Are you there? I can hear a very faint voice.
Okay, well, I'll just say this much. It's just like the scenes we've seen in the Ukraine parliament and all the places we've tried to destabilize them. The chickens have come home to roost.
Okay.
And he's so obviously incompetent that it's shocking that he's lasted this long.
Well, yes, he still has almost 2 weeks left in office, and people are wondering what he what his if he's got a farewell gift. But go. What did you think about Ukraine?
Ukraine is just, we're over there meddling, and mm-hmm. now we see how it feels to have your parliament occupied, and this dude who's in there now. As far as I'm concerned, they should repeal the 25th Amendment if they're not going to use it. He called out people. He's an opportunist and a con man of unbelievable stature. And the Democrats are trying to put it on Russia, and they're trying to do a bait and switch. Look, this is our system, and it stinks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just stinks the way this government's being run. They're not calling out what this was, and this was a president calling for a coup. And I'm not, Joe Biden's going to be, like I said last time, the clown car. This is the way we're choosing to govern ourselves.
Well, yeah, I guess we're choosing in a way. The way our choices get derailed by our electoral system is something else. But Trump has got a lot of support. I don't know. Millions and millions of people voted for this guy, knowingly or not. But the Russians, apparently, some of the Democrats are trying to blame Putin for all this. There's a guy named Ben Rhodes says that this is the day that Putin has waited for. That's a quote.
Pear, I really wouldn't even blame his supporters. This is just a system where you've got two mm-hmm. choices. They got duped. We've been duped plenty of times. Barack told us there'd be change. I voted for Barack. There was no change.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is just, I don't blame them one little bit, except the people that went in there. Hey, man, they're you know what they're going to do is they're going to get this mayor to resign. What's she couldn't have foreseen. I mean, they're trying to blame the D.C. mayor for what the president did.
Who's trying to blame the mayor?
All over the media, they're saying, well, she should have been more prepared. She's the mayor of D.C. The president's right there saying that this is, come on down. What's she supposed to do? I mean,
well,
she was, in my opinion.
It looks to me like they had police there, and then apparently the police let these protesters or Trump supporters, they opened up the gates to let them in. So maybe the mayor does not have the police under control.
Well, that could be, but also it could just be that they looked at the size of this crowd and thought, oh, wow, let's just attenuate this and just hope for the best. I really don't know. Sure, but I mean, to place this, to have her be the one that has to resign or that has to be sanctioned. This guy, the first day he told the press, you're a disgrace, and said, I don't even care what press he was talking to. He showed he was not stable enough to be in there. And this is just, really, really sad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But anyway, keep up the good work, and I'd like to think we're fighting the empire, but I think the empire is in such denial that,
Well, all the more reason to fight the empire when this is all happening kind of in the very seat of the empire. Things are being undermined from within, but thank you for your call. If anybody else wants to call in with their opinions on this, the number is 503-231-8187. What do you think about this? Do you think that these invaders in the Capitol had any kind of high-level support? Apparently they thought they did. If they really hope to succeed, they can't succeed without some kind of support from higher ups. And
John is on the line.
John is on the line?
Yes.
Good morning.
Hi, Bear. Hi.
Yes, I hear you.
A couple of thoughts on what happened yesterday, and it was pretty ugly overall, but I thought there were a couple of positive things that happened in the sense that for people who might have been on the fence about who 45 is, it sure showed them. It might have woke them up. And that was one thing. The second thing I thought was the coverage of all this that extended into the night sort of forced the Congress to put on this show of we're working together and sped up the process of what happened later last night and in verifying the election. So I thought that was, you know, sort of forced them to, oh, wow, everybody's watching us. We've got to act, we've got to at least act like we're working together. So that's my mm-hmm. thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Well, that could be. Well, within less than 2 weeks, we're going to have a new president and a new Congress. We had two Democrats who were elected in Georgia, which looks like that will tip the scale to give Democrats control in the House of Representatives. So I think there will be some changes coming starting at January 20th. But in the meantime, Trump is still in the White House, and we don't really know what he might try to do, some kind of a worse
part shot. I'm wondering if they will push this 25th Amendment idea.
Well, they've been talking.
Even the Republicans seem to be fed up with this. They see this as affecting their party, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I think Trump has really pulled the Republican Party down to his level.
Yeah. Well, I think we've got a lot of work to do still. Mm-hmm. Biden has a lot of shortcomings as far as I'm concerned, and especially in foreign policy. I'm sure things will start looking better for people at home, but on the other hand, I think they're going to plow ahead with their drone wars and their, you know, manipulation of other people's elections and things like that. So mm-hmm. we need to stay on board.
Okay, well, thank you for your call. One thing is very interesting that caller mentioned Ukraine when President Obama was in the White House. Vice President Biden was kind of the point man on Ukraine. And that was when you had, these protests in Kiev, where an elected leader was overthrown by one segment of the Ukrainian people, and they put in, he was elected leader, and he was accused of corruption, like many other Ukrainian leaders. And he was more leaning towards Russia than he was towards NATO, and so he was forced out of office. And this is what touched off the sort of the secession movement in eastern Ukraine, because the people there were the ones who voted for the guy, and he's thrown out of office. So naturally, they're going to be highly alarmed, and that's when that rebellion started.
Marilyn's on the line.
We have somebody else on the line. Good morning, caller.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. Yeah. How are you?
Oh, great. I find this stuff so fascinating. It goes all the way back to Manafort and his dealings with the Russian oligarchs. And Rex Tillerson has a deal with Putin for $500 billion for drilling oil in the Arctic, in the Russian Arctic. And that's behind a lot of this stuff. And the Ukraine is in the middle of Europe, and Putin's desire to sell his oil to Europe. So Manafort and Tillerson, I think Rex Tillerson is a little bit saner than the other clown show, and Giuliani and Trump and et cetera, et cetera. We're trying to manipulate Putin into power over Ukraine, and to increase his power so that they can all together profit from selling oil to Europe.
That
was one aspect. One aspect. I mean, that's not the only thing, but Russia was very much involved in our election, and Democrats aren't just blaming him, they're pointing out what he did, and the impeachment showed that he was very much involved, and that the GOP were not working for us. They were working for Putin.
Well, and, I don't know. I think I would disagree with that. I think Putin is kind of, right now, I think Putin is kind of staying away from the whole thing and just kind of watching as a spectator. Probably got his little bag of popcorn and seeing with how things develop. But
well, sure, he's got everything he asked for. This is, I mean, he's in heaven right now. This is, he's got everything he wants from the United States. The United States looks like an idiot that fell off, you know, that fell off the clown car last night.
What does Putin really want? I mean, what he says he wants is for a multipolar world where you have, where nations are sort of all have equal standing, where, according to Putin, the U.S. is trying to impose its values on the rest of the world as sort of a single power. But that's, as far as I can see, that's what Putin is trying to do.
Well, you need to look at what Putin does and not what he says, because he lies. He lies, and Trump lies, and a whole bunch of them are liars and thieves, and they want to come into our government power and raid and loot and pillage our very wealthy country.
Okay.
And become
well, I think
Elon Musk.
I hear the music.
They want to be